Hannah and organizing that for us all today. I'm just going to read our theme verse again, especially in light of what we're going to talk about tonight. This is Jesus' first sermon, really first public sermon. He's gone back to Nazareth, and that's where he'd been brought up. He went to the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, he stood to read, he took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, he unrolled it, and he found the place where this was written from Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. All the eyes of the people in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he said to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And so, one of our takeaways from this morning is just how the gospel impacts everything. Even there's a way of thinking, even about farming, what we heard today, that if we understand farming through God's word and through the gospel, it can direct us towards, living really consistently with God's design and the character that's needed in order to do well. And as we think about this passage, we think about, as the gospel comes in, affects our lives, and we see what Jesus has done in setting us free of sin, we see the way that it affects all kinds of different parts of life and even parts of some of the social ills that we may face as a nation. And the social ills, which we'll talk about today, whether it's human trafficking or abortion. And to see that as the gospel comes in, it affects the way we think, but also affects our hearts, so that instead of being distant, outside the church, outside those who cares, that we come inside, we're part of the people of God, with the heart of Christ for the world around us, seeing the darkness that's there, seeing people as Jesus saw them, distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd, is that God uses his church, and he uses his word, and he uses even our union with Christ and what he came to do to help us to see how the gospel affects a lot of these, what we often think is social ills, these challenges that we have, in order to provide God's loving care to those who are suffering, God's loving care to those who are distressed, God's loving care to those who are in very difficult circumstances, and to point them towards Christ in his redemptive work. And so in light of that, we're very grateful for our speakers tonight to really, because they've really been wrestling through, and they have for a long time now, how do we bring God's word to bear and the gospel, which brings hope on the lives of the people that we serve. And so our first speaker today will be Michelle Trampy. I remember years ago when God called Michelle to do this, and really just this really steering of where her heart was to serve those who have been subjected to human trafficking and to come alongside and care for them. And God calling her to that. I remember your conversations with Pastor Doug, God leading you into that and his excitement, your excitement, and the way that things work. And also, as we've interacted, the work that it's been, the challenge that's been, the difficulty and the suffering that you've seen, but also the degree of help that you've been able to give, not only to women who are affected by this, but also to the police, to the public school classrooms, to give perspective of this. And so the breadth of this is, and I don't know how much she'll cover all today, but the breadth of this ministry is really encouraging, and I want you to be encouraged. As you've been encouragement to her through Faith Promise, through your prayers, our prayers together in this ministry. And just pray, Michelle, that as you come up and share with us tonight, that you're encouraged by our continuing care for you and all this. Yep. So thank you.
Good evening. I took a decongestant, so I'm really starting to get really dehydrated, so I might have to stop and drink my water. And as per usual, I wrote something out, and then I listened to the music, and so I'm probably going to change it up a bit. But my name's Michelle Trampy. For those of you who don't know me, I am a member of this church, and I'm also the director of the Central Virginia Justice Initiative. We are a Christian 501c3. And our mission is to really combat human trafficking and exploitation in all of its forms. And just to be clear, one of the reasons why we added exploitation is, and I'll just say it, prostitution. When we meet somebody who's engaged in prostitution, most of the time there's somebody there who's applying force, fraud, or coercion, usually. 90% of the time. I've only met one person who I said, you know what, That is not someone who has force, fraud, or coercion. But the reason why she was in the situation is that she was just, it was just abject poverty. She had other issues going on that were making it very difficult for her to find any other kind of, or any kind of work, and homelessness and other things. And so from our perspective, we're not gonna make that distinction. We're not gonna say, we're not gonna help you because we know you're in a tough situation. You know, we understand the trauma that she's been through. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, the more and more we're hearing is that the buyers are as brutal as the traffickers themselves. Now, I'll just start with a verse. It's Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And we know we're called to imitate him, and that's what our ministry tries to do. Now, I wanted to tell you a little bit about our clients. Our clients, when we come into contact with them, we may come into contact with them, and I'm gonna try to make sure I stay within like 15 minutes or so. When we come into contact with them, they either somehow found their way to us, law enforcement has contacted us, or another nonprofit within the area has contacted us. We can spend hours, we can spend days, we can spend years helping someone, just depending upon what the needs are. I'm going to tell you about one person this year that we helped, and it was amazing. It was a complicated situation, and it was amazing how God worked it out, because there were times when you're doing this and you don't want to let the person down. I mean, that's the hardest thing for me is, wow, what happens if I can't find something? Are they going to end up back out on the street? Are they going to lose confidence in us? And so our prayer is always for God to just open that window, and he always does. So I got a call one afternoon. Tom, I was actually at your company. I do some work for Tom. And so I was actually there, and I got this call. And it was from a similar organization in another part of the country. And I'm not going to tell you those specifics because I think this is going out over the air. And her mother had contacted this similar organization in another state. Her daughter was here, and her daughter was being trafficked. Long story short, we were able to get in contact with her daughter. She was put into a hotel, and we worked with this other organization, and we actually found a group of pilots that were willing to fly her. It was amazing. So there are a group of pilots out there. It's a small organization. They're willing to fly people who have been trafficked for free. Now, there were a couple of issues with that. One, they needed somebody to accompany her, and that was going to be difficult. And there were also some issues with the schedules, and we wanted to get her out as soon as possible. So her mother contacted me and said she was willing to fly to an airport, a particular airport. I'm not going to tell you which one. And we were actually willing to, at that point, we were going to drive her pretty much anywhere. So I had one of our volunteers with me because we always have two people in the car. And we were praying as we went over to see her, to pick her up from the hotel room. And she had been trafficked from an organization that I was very concerned about her safety. Now, we've actually transported MS-13 gang members' girlfriends before with the assistance of law enforcement. But this was a case where law enforcement wasn't engaged. And so she didn't want it that way. We're not going to push that as long as there's no imminent issue. So we got there, and I was literally looking around in every parked car, and there was a guy on his phone next to his car, and he was just kind of loitering around, and I told the person I was with, I'm like, let's keep our eye on him. And fortunate, by the time we brought her down, he was gone, so I don't know who he was or what he was doing, but he was gone. So we got her in the car, and you know, things never go exactly to plan. So her mom was a sweet woman, but she hadn't really flown a lot, and so she missed her flight. So I got a phone call, we're mid-transport, and she lost her her flight, so she was desperately trying to find another way to get to her daughter. So, we were in the car. I was not driving back to Fredericksburg. If I had, I think she would have really just come out of her skin. And so we just prayed. And we decided, well, we'll go get something to eat. And there was a restaurant. And so we go into the restaurant. And it happened to be a Salvadorian restaurant. She really perked up, and she's not Salvadorian, but the restaurant had some foods on the menu that reminded her of a neighbor who was Salvadorian, who she was close to when she was growing up. And so, you know, we got her talking about that so we could, you know, spend more time, you know, we wanted to spend more time with her. So we, you know, we prayed together, and the meal came, and so at the end of the meal, she said, you know, I'm really tired. Can I go to sleep in the car? And I said, absolutely. Now, there's also part of you knowing that they can run at any time, and so if she's going to trust me, I'm going to trust her. So she went to lay down in the car, And so we went back out to the car and got in the car and started driving again. And by the time we got to the airport, her mother was in the plane, and she was maybe 20 minutes from landing. So I guess she called just before they had to turn off their phones. You know, we kept her in the car. She wanted to sleep some more. And that told me that she was comfortable enough with us, that she felt like she could go to sleep with us. And so then we took her inside, and her mother was there, and there was a great reunion. So then we took her and her mother over to a hotel so that they could stay there the night, and then she could they could fly home the next day, which they did. And so then the other organization, the like organization, a Christian organization, was there to really pick her up, and then they could minister to her physical as well as spiritual needs. And so God really worked that out, and I was really not sure that was gonna happen. You know, that was really just a great example to us, that just have faith, keep walking forward. You're not sure what's going to be around the other corner, but God was going to take care of us. We also, just let me check here real quick, we also were very appreciative and learned. We're always learning. Sometimes I think God's, you know, perpetually just teaching us in this ministry, that it's his timing, not ours. And so, you know, Psalms 27, I was reading that, and it says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So sometimes we have to wait for him, and we have to be patient, and I'm not patient. So early on when we started the organization, we knew that prevention was really the only truly way to combat human trafficking. We knew that we could keep ministering to human trafficking victims, but we were never going to really get out ahead of it unless there was some sort of prevention. And so in 2015, actually, my husband Paul over there, we went to the Spotsylvania County Schools Ray Laura was a school board member at the time, and so he got us the appointment with the superintendent. And so we sat down and we explained everything to him. And to be quite honest, the superintendent was very open and looked at the curriculum that we were suggesting. The prevention project, which is at the time was put together by the Richmond Justice Initiative, they are another Christian organization down in Richmond. They came before us and they developed this really wonderful curriculum. And it was in some of the school districts. And so we had provided it. They said, hey, this looks really good. But the problem was is that there are so many things that are required to be in curriculum that they were having trouble finding a way to get it in. And so it sort of just floundered. So we kept talking about it, and there was or is a counselor who actually sits on our task force from the Spotsylvania County Public Schools, and she really has been incredibly engaged. And so again, his timing, not mine. This year, the Spotsylvania County School Districts purchased the prevention project for both the high school and the middle school, and they're implementing it. So again, God's timing, not ours. And the wonderful thing about the curriculum is that it teaches kids the lures and the tricks of cat traffickers. Now, one of the things a lot of people don't understand is that traffickers lure. They don't snatch, they lure someone. And so they are very patient. It may take a year for them to groom a victim, but they do it. And what we can do is we can tell some of the kids some of those initial lures. So for example, a trafficker will come up to a child either in person or because they know where kids are, or on the internet, and they'll say something like, you're beautiful. Now, everybody wants to hear that they're beautiful, but just based on the way that they respond, if they respond with a lot of confidence, the trafficker's gonna just walk away because that's not something they don't feel as though they can continue to groom. If they sort of act shy, say, oh no, I'm not, and don't have a lot of confidence, the traffickers will actually continue to groom them. Now, what they do is they continue to tell the child that they're grooming things that they want to hear. You know, it's good information for the young folks to have. And traffickers know how to tempt and entice. We know someone else who knows how to do that too. They tell kids what they want to hear. The other thing that the curriculum does is it explains why human trafficking is wrong. You'd be surprised why you have to explain it's wrong. But you have a lot of forces out there saying things like prostitution, oh, that's legitimate work for people. With no understanding of what it does, how evil it is, and how devastating it is. And so the curriculum actually talks about that. And so not only are you preventing victims, but you're actually preventing buyers and traffickers. And I believe that's why God put it on RJI's heart to put together that that curriculum. We're very grateful for everything that's happened this year. And to finish up, there's a couple of things that I wanted to pray for. wanted to ask for prayer for. You can always pray for victims and survivors. We have victims of human trafficking that were born and raised in this area and are being trafficked in this area. Pray first for their salvation, first and foremost, recovering from trauma, services they need, safety. Pray that through prevention we can stop this evil. Pray that kids will know Christ first and that they can be confident in their faith, and that's important. Pray for our organization and our future. I'm not getting any younger, so what's the succession leadership look like? Pray for our Planning District 16 Human Trafficking Task Force, which I have the honor of leading for this district. Includes law enforcement, the schools, other NGOs, trafficking survivors. We also have been invited, actually as early as last Friday, to be part of a multidisciplinary team related to a new statute for the Commonwealth's attorneys. I don't know what God has in store for us there, but I'm not going to close the door to it. And I think the one thing that we've learned is that when you're fighting against something that's in the world, you have to you have to understand it, and you have to be willing to find advocates, and that includes law enforcement and Commonwealth's attorneys. And the fact that they've invited us, a little faith-based organization in the area, is a great honor. And then guidance on how to combat demand. We'd like to start with the illicit massage businesses. There's another organization in Northern Virginia, Reset 180, that is another faith-based Christian organization, and they have some ways that they've been trying to do it. It's pretty aggressive, but I'm kind of open to it. So that's all, and thank you so much.
Somehow, what would they do?
They can just contact me.
Contact you. I'm also thinking about the prayer nights. You want the worship nights that you have.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Do you just want to mention that briefly? Because I know I think that's an easy number one step.
Oh, sure. We tend to like to start off the year with an evening of prayer and praise, and we did so this year. Definitely open to doing them any other time of the year, too, because you can't do too many. But it's music, scripture, prayer. We pray for trafficking victims. We pray for buyers. We pray for traffickers themselves. They need salvation. The buyers and the traffickers, they need salvation. We should be praying for that as well. We pray for law enforcement. We pray for the justice system. We pray for other NGOs. And most of all, we also pray for the church. This is where the church really, the survivors that I know, they're all believers, and that's just not a coincidence. That answer your question? Okay, thanks.
Pastor Bob's going to pray for you and for the ministry.
Please pray with me. Father, we're so grateful for your mercy that you've given us. We thank you for those who are in the war against evil. We just pray, Father, that you would strengthen them. We praise you for the prevention program in the schools, and we pray, Father, that would be fruitful. We also pray for the victims and survivors and for their salvation, their recovery. And Lord, we do pray for prevention, that this may be stopped. We also pray for the organization, for Christian Virginia Justice Initiative. It's very difficult work. We just pray, Father, that you would strengthen them, and for the task force. We pray for the Virginia government statute, Father, for the attorneys and the law enforcement, that would go through. And we also pray for the guidance. And we do pray all these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Our other speaker today is Christian Johnson. He is from Choices Women Center, and his wife Amy is also here with him. So glad that you guys could be here tonight. You know, this is our 50th missions conference, and so a lot of the time it's also looking back on the things that we've been able to involve with, which have had a gospel presence in our community. And one of the things, whether it's with Crisis Pregnancy Center, again, I can't remember all the details. Eileen can tell you all the details of our involvement with this from the beginning. If you want to ask Eileen Roberts, she can get you. Whether it's Crisis Pregnancy Center or Bethany Christian Services down to Choices Women's Center, and to see our involvement with them through the decades, you know, it's a great partnership that we've been able to have for years, and one we, you know, look forward to seeing in the future as God uses this ministry dealing with women in unplanned pregnancies and the men who also fathered these children, and to see how do we minister to them, call them to make a choice for life, and then come alongside and then to disciple them. And so this is in part a discipleship ministry. Even as a pro-life ministry, it's also discipleship ministry as we bring God's word to bear on the lives of women who are affected in this way. So, Christian, thank you for being here. Christian is the, are you the CEO? President? Of Choices Center, Women's Center. So, thank you.
I'm not one for titles, so. Good evening. Last time I was with you guys, I think it was January of last year, and all of that wasn't a thing. So I love the renovations that you all have done. Good to see a lot of familiar faces. For those that I haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Christian Johnson, and I get to lead the local pregnancy help ministry known as Imagine Life that directly supports the pregnancy medical center known as the Choices Women's Center. So just very briefly to explain the difference between the two, we are incorporated as the Fredericksburg Pregnancy Center, but we do business under two separate entities. The difference is Choices is intended to provide the direct services to the abortion vulnerable in our community. Imagine Life is for our partners, for our donors, for you. And so we have two completely different websites, social media, so it just kind of depends on, you know, what you're looking to connect with. If you know of somebody that's abortion vulnerable in our community that needs our programs and services, send them to Choices. And if you are looking to volunteer with our ministry or support us, that would be Imagine Life. So Imagine Life, ultimately we exist to share the love of Christ with everyone who walks through our doors. And the way we do this is by coming alongside of those facing unplanned pregnancies, empowering them with hope, and we know where that comes from, and life-affirming choices. So I know some of you are probably, wondering the why. Our guiding principles are that no woman should ever feel alone, coerced, or so hopeless that she ends her child's life through abortion. Another one of our guiding principles is that no woman should ever feel forced to complete an abortion that she no longer wants. Every woman has the right to continue her pregnancy. Every woman and man deserves love and support during an unplanned pregnancy. So that's our why. That's why we do what we do. And some of you may be wondering, well, how big of a problem can this really be? I mean, Roe versus Wade was overturned a couple of years ago. Here's the cold reality. This year, there will be about 2,000 unplanned pregnancies right here in our community. And half will end in abortion. But they don't have to. That's why we exist, and that's why we need partners like you. To frame that a little bit differently, there's nearly 20 women every single week from right here in our very own community that have bought into the lie that abortion is their best and only option. That's 20 women every single week that will live with regret. That's 20 babies every single week that won't get to take their first breath. According to the Virginia Department of Health, Fredericksburg has ranked in the top five with one of the highest rates of abortion in the entire state of Virginia, Fredericksburg. One out of every 27 pregnancies are terminated here. The state average is one out of every 111. So we have four times the problem. Now that should be distressing. It can be discouraging, but I do have a lot of good news to share with you. I guess for starters, in 2024, we had a couple of highlights. We got some new board members and staff that came on, two of which are from your church. Mark Shigley joined our board back about 6 months ago, and Sam Morales joined our staff about 10 months ago, and they've been tremendous additions to our ministry. We were also able to relaunch our fatherhood program due to an anonymous grant that we received, and so that has gotten back on track and is starting to flourish after a couple of years of struggling a little bit. But here's a couple of data points that I think you'll be pretty amazed by. Over the last 3 years, we've seen a 60% increase in appointments. How about this one? 116% increase in the number of abortion-minded clients that have come to us. In 2022, that was our high watermark, if you will, at that time. We had 171 changed minds. In 2023, that number was 184. In 2024, that number jumped to 266 changed minds. Yeah, amen, right? You know, all of those metrics were the most that we've ever seen in 2024. We're super thankful that the abortion vulnerable and the abortion minded in our community, that they're finding us. And that's despite what's happening politically. More importantly, we've seen a 31% increase in spiritual engagements in our ministry. We're averaging about 15 clients a year that are coming to know the Lord. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, the women that are living with the regret or babies that are being lost due to the violence. But think about the souls. That's 15 souls that were spared from an eternity apart from our Lord. That's a big deal. That's a bigger deal. If I can pause for a second and brag on New Life, we are so grateful for you standing shoulder to shoulder with us over all these years as defenders of life for the next generation of image bearers in our community. Over the course of our 13-year partnership, New Life has supported our ministry with $41,000. That's astonishing. And that doesn't even include the hundreds of diapers and dozens of children's Bibles that we give to our clients and a lot of other means of demonstrating the practical gospel in the lives of our clients. That $41,000 translates to more than 160 appointments. That's 3 months worth of ultrasound and prenatal consultation appointments. Nearly half of those 160 were either considering or had already decided to have an abortion when they came in to our front doors. Of those, nearly 50 chose life. And that was all made possible by you. And when you think about that 50, it's really 100. That's 50 women that won't have to live with regret. That's 50 babies that got to take their first breath. And again, that's because of you all. So just to highlight some of our current needs, we are really in need of volunteers. We need male fatherhood mentors. We need female receptionists, female client advocates, or females and males for that matter, that can help with some of our parenting classes. So if the Lord is tugging on you and impressing this upon you, we would love to meet you and kind of show you firsthand what it looks like as you maybe prayerfully consider how you can get involved in our ministry. We also need medical professionals. So if you know of nurses, sonographers, licensed clinical social workers, licensed professional counselors, please send them our way. We're hoping if the Lord provides the resources that we can hire two part-time this year or early next year. So how about our future? Here's some of the things that we're looking forward to in the months and years to come. This year, we're hoping to expand hours of operation so that we can serve more. We'd like to be open at least one evening a week and at least one Saturday a month. Planned Parenthood's busiest day of the week is Saturday. Kind of makes sense so that she doesn't have to take off time from work. Makes sense for us to be open at least one Saturday. In 2026, we are hoping to expand programs and services that include counseling to provide trauma-informed care for our abortion-minded clients. Most women who are abortion-minded have some kind of unresolved trauma in their past, so that if we had some of these counseling services in-house so that we could, you know, provide some of that initial stabilizing influence, if you will, until we can get her more long-term help. We think it's going to result in a lot more changed minds, a lot more women spared, and babies as well from the tragedy of abortion. We'd like to reopen our satellite office up in Stafford at some point, that we had to close that back during COVID. And our big dream for at some point in the future is we would like to own our own building. The city of Richmond sold a $1.2 million facility to Planned Parenthood for $10. Think about that for a second. I'd love for somebody to donate us a center for $10. Maybe that's something to pray for. And lastly, as I wrap up, while your much-needed financial support is always needed and always welcome, there are other ways that you can get involved with our ministry. It's what we call our Care Alliance. And again, it's about providing that practical gospel to support these young families in their time of need. That looks a little bit like providing diapers, you know, for their first year. We call it our diaper brigade. We also have baby ready bags. I'm prior military, so you sense a little theme here. Diaper brigade, ready bags. You know, this is for, you know, mom when she's ready to go to the hospital with her baby. She's better equipped with the resources that she needs. Self-care kits for her. We want her to know that she's seen, that she's valued. And we've also got dad toolboxes. You know, once again, empowering him to make a life-affirming choice as well. You know, our culture has told men they don't have a say. And we're trying to counteract that lie. And so something as simple as a little toolbox that we give to him encourages him and helps him realize that, oh, wait a minute, I matter. So again, thank you for having me this evening to share a little bit about the ministry. Thank you for your continued partnership with us. Sure.
Right. Christian, you may not have any of these stats in hand, but with the transition of in-person abortion versus the private means of mail-order chemical abortions availability, what is Choices doing to help combat that? Because it becomes even more private, as even within our own church community, it becomes much more.
Thank you for that.
If you have any answer to repeat the question.
Basically, he was asking, what are we doing to combat the prevalence of, it's called a lot of different things, chemical abortion, abortion pill, Plan C. So what's happening is, it used to, chemical abortion or the abortion pill used to constitute about 30% of abortions. And that number has now exceeds 60%. Of all abortions, and a lot of that has been made possible, especially post-COVID, when the abortion pill can be ordered online and mailed to her house. So now her mailbox, her bathroom, her bathtub, that's becoming the new abortion facility. So I appreciated what you had to say about prevention. You know, we as the church and in the nonprofit space, we tend to be pretty good at the response side of a lot of these challenges and problems, but the prevention is a much harder part. And one of the ways that we're striving to do that is through what they call STI, sexually transmitted infections. So testing and treatment for that, because that enables us to create credibility with her so that while she's visiting us over an STI, we can talk about, well, this is treatable, but what would have happened if this was an unplanned pregnancy? Oh, I don't know. Well, we get to plant a seed. Well, we are the subject matter experts in Fredericksburg for unplanned pregnancies. So if you or anybody else you know finds themselves in that situation, you know where to come or you know where to send them. So we've been learning from a center across the state that has been doing it for a couple of years. And year before last, I don't know what their numbers are from 2024, but year before last, they had 15 former STI patients that came back to them, again, because that trust and credibility was established. And they came back with an unplanned pregnancy, and most of those chose life. Does that answer your question?
I'm sorry, did you address ABR as well?
Abortion pill reversal?
Yes.
I had not, but yes. So that is where if a woman starts an abortion pill and has regret and changes her mind, there's a national hotline that she can call that will connect her with doctors and pregnancy centers like ours in her community. And it can be reversed. I think the number is about 60% success rate if it's attended to within 24 to 48 hours. So time is of the essence. We just had our gala last week and we had our keynote speaker, powerful testimony. You know, she was a good girl. A lot of times, you know, people perceive, oh, this is a problem that happens out there in the hotel community or fill in the blank. Well, she was good student, good family, in the church, like, and it happened to her. And she was able, after she started the first pill, she had instant regret, and she was able to get immediate help and get it reversed. And her, I think, 11-year-old boy is alive today because of it. So we partner with the Fredericksburg Fredericksburg Christian Health Center, thank you, and Dr. Theron Steiner on providing that service. Yes? All right. If you didn't know, John used to be on our board. Yes. Thank you.
Be my honor, my privilege. So in John 10:10, we're reminded Jesus' word, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And the thief certainly is working aggressively out there in all sort of wicked ways of coercion, that many of these women find themselves very hopeless. And it's places like choices that when they find them, by adopting that word choice, taking back that word, God's word, choice, women have found hope when they've discovered Choices Women's Center. And I hope you would look a little bit more into it through Imagine Life, that's AMGN Life, and learn a little bit more on how you might be able to help donate some of your time, because it's a really impactful and amazing ministry, as hopefully you've come to learn that we have a little dark area here. It's the Fredericksburg city location and the surrounding area where we represent a significant number of lost life every year in the state of Virginia. And so it's important that we bring this matter to our Lord. And if you would, please join with me now in prayer. Our gracious, merciful Father, we give thanks and praise for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to do that which we're unable, to bring life-affirming news and hope to many, many mothers across this region, and doing so through your servants at Choices Women's Center. Lord, we pray for a hedge of protection around them. We uplift Christian and his staff, that you would give them not only wisdom but strength to combat this evil every single day. And Lord, we thank you for the many that have come alongside to partner with and to provide resources to enable this ministry throughout this community, so that this community would embrace life, reaffirm it, and for that day when we would, across this great land,
abortion would be unthinkable. Lord, we rest these prayers on your mercy seat and ask for you to anoint them and bless them, and that we may see this come to pass within our own lifetime. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Stand together, closing hymn.